So today we met. A pastor is on his way to family in Pensacola, Florida. He leaves tonight. So we bless him in his trip. We bless his family that's behind him in Cami. We bless where they're Pensacola and where they're going. But so he has a meeting with us and just kind of lets us know at that point, oh, yeah, by the way, you have the service tonight. I'm like, so I quickly look across the room to Diana and Becky, go, you got anything? You got anything? And they're like, oh, I got the offering. I'll take care of worship. Okay, I guess I get what's left. So yeah, you get to go to the men's room. No. So I say that, one, because I think what we're all learning to do is to move with Holy Spirit. I'm not very good at it. I tend to drag my feet, but that's what we're learning to do, so we all get to learn tonight together. So what we've been talking about, and I'm just gonna talk. I saw in worship how we'll end the service, but I don't really have a way how we're gonna get there. But at least we're gonna end. Be free to know we will end. Yeah, well, I don't know. I know how we're getting to the end. That much that the Lord showed me in worship. So Sunday we talked about, Pastor mentioned, and we've been looking at Leviticus 25. And in Leviticus 25, it kind of lays the guidelines for the Jewish people, the people of God, the chosen people, on how to deal with history, how to place them in history for getting them out of the things that happen in life, right? The places of bondage, the places of debt, the places of whatever. And it's a way of restoration. It is, the year of Jubilee is a precursor of Jesus, okay? It's the Old Testament version of no matter how bad your life could get messed up in 50 years, at some point in your life, you were going to encounter the year of Jubilee, which was going to bring you into a place of restoration, recovery, wholeness, completeness, freedom again. Okay? That's what Jesus does for all of us every day. Okay? We don't, thank God, we don't have to wait 50 years to get free. I would. Okay? I would wait 50 years, but thankfully we don't have to. So Leviticus lays out the kind of the structure of how that would work. But Jesus refers to, in Luke 14, he refers to Isaiah 61, which also is, again, it's a type. It's a foreshadow of Jesus as our year of Jubilee, as our place of freedom. Okay, so I want to start there in Isaiah 61. And I'm not there. I'm at the end already. So, Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prisons to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those that mourn, to console all those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Jesus referred to this, and it's not verbatim, but it's in Luke 2 is the same thing. It's what Jesus founded his ministry, and I won't even say his ministry, what he founded his life on was the ability to take people from any of those places, out of those places, into freedom and into liberty. Okay, and Pastor said on Sunday that liberty, okay, is moving rapidly, freedom, spontaneous outflow, and clarity. And then I wrote underneath this because he said it, says, you can't plan it, you just go with it. Okay? It's just, liberty's that way. So last service in the 6 o'clock, we talked about Acts chapter 12. Okay, in Acts chapter 12, I won't go there yet, is where Peter's in jail. Okay, and the next day, Herod's going to execute him. Okay, we all know the story? Nod your heads for me. I know you're out there. You're still awake. Okay, he's about to be executed the next day. He's chained to guards. There's watchmen. There's innumerable numbers of soldiers that are guarding him, the jail, and the whole area because Herod is just crazy enough to think that somehow he could get out. Right? Other words, why would you put all those guards there if you didn't believe somehow he could get out? Right? I mean, jails were meant to keep people in, but he had a fear issue and thought somehow he's going to get loose. So he put all these guards, all these soldiers, all these men were responsible for him. But, you know, there came a point in the evening, in the night, where an angel showed up suddenly and poked Peter with the staff, said, get up. And it says, suddenly he got up, you know the story, he got dressed, got his shoes on, and he said, let's go. Suddenly the doors opened up, they walked out, and it says of Peter that he didn't realize that he wasn't having a vision until they were down outside the city, when the gates, the giant gates of the city opened up and he was down the street. Okay? But it was all suddenly. It was all rapid, quick. And that's the picture of freedom. The picture of freedom is that you're in the midst of a thing that you're doing and freedom comes and you're now free from it before you really even know how you got there. Okay? And that's Peter. And in the midst of that, he's kind of swept out and on his way. And Becky had made a comment, which was really, I hadn't really looked at it that way. Across town, there's a prayer meeting going on. Okay? It's probably, it doesn't tell you, but my assumption is it's the whole church in Jerusalem is probably praying for Peter. Okay? It'd be no different that if something were happening to our president or that the whole country came together. Everybody would come together to take care of that. Or in this house, if something were happening to our senior pastor, everybody would come together. There's an immediate bond of unity to cover it, right? So I believe it was the whole church was probably praying for Peter's release or for God to intervene. And I'm sure they didn't expect it, because finally when Peter comes to the door, which is interesting because Peter knew exactly where to go. He was back in his right mind. He'd realized it wasn't a vision. He was okay, and he went to where the church would have been. And he knocks on the door, and the person who comes to the door looks at him and says, "Their faith was for him to be set free somehow, or for something to change, or for God to do something. But all of a sudden, when Peter's standing at the door, they don't even believe it's Peter. They made the assumption it was probably his angel." Now, I've never seen your angel, so my first assumption, if I saw you knocking on the door of the church when we're closed, I'd go, it's Larry outside. But they had such a relationship. They'd already seen so much. They probably thought, oh, it was his angel. Okay? So they didn't even open the door at first. Okay? So even in that, that's how suddenly it was. Nobody at the prayer meeting got a word that Peter was free. Nobody got a word of knowledge, you know, got a prophetic vision and said, you know what? Peter's at the door. And then the door knocked, right? That's how we'd think that would work, right? But it wasn't. The freedom happened so suddenly that all of a sudden he was there. Okay? And he knocked, and he was set free. And I'm sure there was, I mean, we can go on that whole story and imagine that. But your life is a lot like that. Your life is full of moments where God has done something for you, and before you even realize it, you know, before you even can in your mind and our cognitive thinking, you're already like, well, it's already taken care of. See, and that's the kind of stuff, that's the liberty that we're talking about of coming into. Not the kind of stuff that you can think your way out of, okay? It would be like, it'd be like being thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt and God taking the debt away in a moment. Okay? Because it'd be way beyond your ability to just pay off your credit card or the mortgage on your house. We're talking about just huge intervention of God. Okay? That's what I think of when I think of freedom. But I also know that freedom is not always giant. You know, it's not always a big thing. Freedom is the ability to for God to show me I'm wrong and for me to repent. Right? Because that's the same thing. I'm thinking differently. That word repent is to no longer think, look at this way, but to look at it a different way and realize that you weren't wrong. You were wrong, and to change. Okay, freedom would be the ability to come into something, to come into a revelation of God. I because freedom is something you can't plan, but it happens suddenly and quickly, right? That's like revelation. That's like when you're reading. Raise your hand if you've ever done it. You're reading. You've read this verse hundreds of times. All of a sudden you read it, and now it's like jumping off the page. It's like bright lights, like those spotlights they have at grand openings are standing on it. You're like, what? You go, how did I not see this? See, that's freedom. That's rapidly coming into something that you didn't have the ability to get yourself into. Okay? It's not always bad. It's not always like, oh, this is terrible and God's going to make it not terrible. It's sometimes just God just intervening in your life at a moment for something that you can't take care of. Okay? It's that kind of freedom is the goodness of God in the land of the living. But it shows up suddenly and immediate, quickly. It takes over and all of a sudden you don't even realize it. Like, wow. Okay? Those are the suddenlies. Pastor always says it's the suddenly that takes 30 years to get to. Right? Anybody waiting for a suddenly? Everybody, right? Well, there's some place in our lives that we're waiting for a suddenly tonight, right? Right? I want to share this because this is what I saw in the thing is that we're all waiting for a suddenly to happen. I'm going to ask you tonight, is there a place in your life that you need freedom? Yeah, there's a place in my life, lots of places in my life that I still need freedom. I'm waiting for God to intervene on the good and on the things that I've messed up, right? I'm waiting for God to intervene, okay? So I want to share this scripture because this is what I saw during worship, and then I'll have the worship team come up, and we're going to get to practice because Wednesday night is about practice, okay? Wednesday night's like Tuesday night, but everybody together. Okay, and on Tuesdays, we take all the men, put them in one room, put all the ladies in the other room, and we deal with our journey. On Wednesday night, we throw everybody in the pot, all three generations, multi, you know, ethnos, and we throw us all in and we say, okay, now we're going to practice what God's telling us. You guys want to practice what God's saying? Okay, then you're in the right place. I just want to make sure, because I could go home now. I've had a long day. It's okay with me. I've already heard what he told me to do, so I'm good. Oh, Pastor, that's so selfish. Okay. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. And go right past 15 and go to 16. And we're going to start in... Well, you know the story. It starts back in verse 16. Paul and Silas are out on the mission field. And they've been in the city and for days. Days, the demonized girl has been wandering behind her. You know the story. You know where we're going, right? So this demonized fortune teller lady is behind her every day, behind them every day, just mocking, annoying, whatever. Figure out whatever to be the thing that would drive you crazy. But it says... It says, the girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. wait a minute, does that sound like, doesn't sound like bondage? Sounds like she's saying the truth, right? That's the way, of course. It's always the way. But she's saying the right thing, but she's not saying it in the right spirit, right? Because even the devil knows who Jesus is. He's well acquainted with him. Bottom of his foot, mostly, but, right? But he's well acquainted with him. So just because someone's saying the right thing doesn't mean it's necessarily the right way. Okay, so the story goes on. Day after day after day, Paul and Silas and the rest of them are walking along trying to minister to the people in the city, and this lady just keeps at it. It comes to one point, you know the story, Paul just has enough. Okay, turns around, rebukes her, casts a demon out of her, and she gets set free. Okay, she wasn't even looking for freedom. Okay? She didn't even, well, first of all, she didn't even know she wasn't free. She probably thought the gift that she had was good. Okay? Brought in money. Kept her master happy. Okay? But her freedom brought Paul and Silas into a place of bondage real quick. Right? You know the story. Her employer, master, whatever you want to call it, gets a little mad, goes to the magistrates, gets Paul and Silas, you know, put in bondage, beaten, and we'll pick up the story at verse 25. Right? Well, we'll start at 24. And having received a charge put on them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. See, everyone's chains were loosed at that moment. All the rest of the prisoners who were there for probably good reason, their doors and their chains were open too, okay? But just like in Leviticus 25, right, the Jews' identity related them to God, and they listened to what he had to say, right, about the year of Jubilee. And on the 50th year, the trumpets proclaimed, right, and they were able to then release everybody from their debts, okay? Their identity was in, they had a correct identity with God for the year of Jubilee, right? Because if they didn't, they wouldn't give up the debt, right? And there's a caution about that, okay? But in this point here, Paul and Silas, they were in prison. They weren't at a prayer meeting. They weren't trying to get Peter out of prison. They were the ones in prison, okay? They were in the bondage, and they chose at that point to worship and sing praise. Okay? They chose. They made a choice, right? And we heard at the conference, right? We heard at the conference two words, and I talked about it last service, right? That the first one is worship, and the second is work, right? If you don't like W's, then take it down to it was their identity. Right? Because in worship, you find out who you are before God. You understand your identity. You're a beloved son or daughter, right? Highly favored of him, okay? And then there's an activity. There's what you're going to do. They were just about doing what they were supposed to be doing, okay? It, in our mindsets, we would think that it shouldn't have gone this way for them. At least I wouldn't. I'd think, what a rip for them. They cast a demon out, next thing you know, they're in jail. You know, but God had a bigger plan for their bondage. Okay, they got whipped and beaten. Okay, but God had a bigger plan for it. Okay, and we know the rest of the story is that after they got free, the jailer was ready to kill himself because he's like, when my master sees what happened, they won't throw me in jail. They'll kill me. So But he ended up with salvation for him and his whole family. Okay? And then the story goes on, and you know how it goes, is that it ends up that Paul and Silas get restoration with the city, right? And I don't really know what happened to all the prisoners. My spiritual imagination thinks they all got saved, you know, after the whole thing. But who knows? Could have been, I'm sure it was good seed. I'm sure their lives were changed in something. But what I saw in worship was that tonight, as we end, we're going to take the place that we're at. Everybody here said there's some place in their life that they need freedom, right? And if not you, there's somebody you know who needs freedom, right? Because Paul and Silas were the ones that worshiped, yet everybody around them was affected, right? You see it? I'm just saying. So tonight we're going to close the service by just worshiping, by just stopping from what we're doing, by seeing the place we're at, okay? Acknowledge it. Doesn't change it. Acknowledging is not going to change it. It's just reminding you of that place. And we're going to worship. We're going to worship God. I can't promise that tonight all your prison doors are going to be open. I wish I could. God's big enough to do that. He freed all the other prisoners. But what I want to say is that it's a pattern. I'm sure that any other time that Paul was in trouble, I'm sure this wasn't Paul and Silas's first worship service, right? And I know it's not yours, but again, it's thinking that this house is a house of liberty. It's our DNA. It's who we are, okay? When you're in the house, okay, then you get to partake of the liberty, okay? But this is something that from this point here, we're going to worship. We're going to trust God in it, that he's going to swing open prison doors tonight. You know, maybe there'll be an earthquake. You know, I started years ago when I always heard on the news of earthquakes. I started back when we had that earthquake that was diverted and went out to, was it Redlands? 29 Palms earthquake. I started in that. I started thinking, you know what, every time there's an earthquake, I go, some Christians just got free somewhere. God's just shaking something to let people free. Again, it's a mindset. It's God's big enough to take the things that we think are destructive, and he's turning them around for good. Turns them around for good for us and for Israel. You know. So tonight we're going to worship. We're just going to worship. We're going to end the service worshiping, and you know, you can proclaim from your place, the place that you can ask God, you can talk to him and because again, it's all about your identity. It's all about who you are with him. That's where the freedom comes. Long before the freedom of an open jail comes, you're going to get an open heart with him first. That's going to be the first place to change. And for me, that's the real place of freedom. When your heart changes, when you don't have to see the natural thing change, because you've already seen it in the supernatural, you've already seen it in the spirit, then the natural doesn't seem to matter as much. I mean, and when that happens, that will be a suddenly, but you'll already know it. That's a suddenly that takes 30 years, because you've already seen it, you already know it. So, Diana, we're just going to worship, and Becky's going to close us in a little bit, or going to help us with some declarations and that, and we're just going to worship God. I'm going to ask you to stand. You can move around, you can sit, you can kneel, but this is your active time to worship in your jail cell, whatever that looks like. So, whenever you're ready. I'm sure there was no band there that night, so you don't have to wait for them to help you start. There was, I'm sure Paul and Silas maybe clapped, but there was no band with them. So feel free to just start raising your voice before God.
Just Stand in awe. to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve.
I declare that you are Lord of my heart, that you have taken my heart, Lord God, and ravished it. Father, I declare and decree that when we leave this place, Father, that each one of your fiery ones that have been walking amongst us, Lord God, have given each one of us, Lord God, something that we didn't have when we came in, but we have been longing for all our life. Father, I thank you, Lord God, you have deposited a good thing within each one of us. I declare and decree your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness, your compassion, your long-suffering, your hope, your faith, your love, your boldness, your humility, your gentleness, your fieriness, your loudness, and your softness. I thank you, Father God, that when we open our mouths, I declare the word and the purpose of the Lord will emanate from us. I thank you that every pore on us, God, every pore in our skin and in our spiritual man, Father God, is reeking the incense, the sweet incense of the Lord. I declare and decree over this congregation and those watching on the internet and those even associated in any way to this church and our family members. We have the mind of Christ. There is no feebleness among us. All sickness, disease, infirmity, affliction, every depression, every mental illness, every slowness, or every too quickness is being stripped of us right at this very moment. In your presence, there's fullness of joy, and we are walking in that joy. And Father God, when we leave this place, we will be carriers of your presence. Not visitors, Father, but carriers. I declare and decree, Father God, we are new creations. that today we have received a liberation that could only come from you. So I thank you for it, Lord God. I speak prosperity over this entire congregation in every area. And I thank you, Father God, that all debts are paid. In Jesus' name, amen.